Okay, we're holding on Dalit on the bays, two lines from the top. So we went through yesterday a number of different opinions, seven or eight different opinions, about how long is the shear, how long is the time of Sira, which is namely the time of Tumah, namely the time of Bia, namely the time of Hara. So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yechanan, Kol Echad Ve'Echad Ba'atmei Shear. Each one of these Chachamim estimated it based on his own experience. Rashi says, Kama Shal Yashay B'Viyase, how long would he himself take for his Bia? Question is, Baruch Ben Azai Deloy Nosiv, what about one of the opinions there is Ben Azai, and Ben Azai never got married. There's the famous thing that he said, we learned from Yevamos, that he said, they told him, what about Piri Verivia, and he said, what can I do? My soul is so in love with, so desires the Torah that I can't do anything else. So how would he know? One answer could be that he married and then got divorced, which actually the Gemara in Ksubos, we learned that Pesach time, that he married Rav Akiva's daughter and then ended up separating from her for years to go and learn Torah. The Gemara says over there, ki'ima kach bita, like the mother, like Rachel, who sent away Rav Akiva to learn for many years, so the daughter.
But it says here that he never married.
That's, the Gemara started assuming that he never married, but now the Gemara is saying not necessarily. He married. He never did period for Rivia, though, because he separated, he divorced from his wife before he actually ever did periyvadiv. Another possibility is that Ben Azai heard it from his Rebbe. Yeah. Or a third possibility is the secret of the Eivishter is to those who fear him. Meaning sometimes there's things, occasionally the Gemara will say such things that we'll have later on next week also, this coming week also, something like that, something that the Chachamim couldn't have known by natural means, but the Eivishter showed it to them basically by Ruach HaKodesh. Which then gets into a bit of discussion. Maharaj Chayas and others talk about the question.
Show different things to different people.
So there's a bunch of questions on this. First of all, yeah. So what? I mean, everybody has their own shear. Well, first of all, also, I mean, if it's individual per person, then how can they be giving a shear for the whole world based on their own individual experience? Right. So there are Mephoshim who say then that not necessarily are they. First of all, maybe not necessarily are they trying to state a shear for the whole world. They're saying, you know, each one is saying that this is an amount of time that can be a problem. And the next one says, yes, but even a shorter amount of time could be a problem. And the next one after that, and so forth. So it is based on their personal experience, but they're not saying, based on that, that must be the halacha for everybody. I mean, you know, and nevertheless, I mean, the fact is that Amnon Paskins, like Rabbi Akiva, evidently holding that he held that there is an actual genuine machlokas over here, and therefore the halacha has to be Paskins. Okay, but even so, Soyd Hashem L'Yireyav doesn't mean necessarily that the Eivishter shows them what the actual final halacha is going to be, Lo B'Shamayim He, anyhow. I mean, that's another question, Ma'arav Chayas and others talk about. I mean, if it's Soyd Hashem L'Yireyav, how do we even think to use that in passing halacha anyway? Because the halacha is down here on earth,
right.
Not up in Shemayim, right. So one answer is that it's just gilui milsa b'alma, it's not really deciding the halacha, it's just establishing the fact, how long does it take? Okay.
Right. Hashem can give us Ruach HaKodesh for this world.
Right, but that's the point. In other words, that's a point of that. You would say, in other words, that the Eivishter gave him Ruach HaKodesh, Soyd Hashem L'Yireyav, to understand how long it might take, even though he himself never experienced it. Nevertheless, that doesn't have to mean the halacha is passed in that way, though. And it doesn't have to be even that it could be used in Psak Halacha, maybe, or it could be, rather, because you're not, that he's not telling him what the halacha is, but rather the fact. And the fact, fine, you can derive those by Ruach HaKodesh. We mentioned on Amud Aleph a pasuk that associates an Isha Zona with a loaf of bread, because we said over there one of the opinions was that the amount of time it takes for Bia is the amount of time it takes to take the loaf of bread out of a basket, and we brought this pasuk. So now we're going to darsh in that pasuk further. Darsh Rabbi Avira darshin, Zimnin Amalam Shmeder Rab Ami, Zimnin Amalam Shmeder Rab Asi. Sometimes he said it over in the name of Rab Ami, sometimes in the name of Rab Asi. In the notes in the Schottenstein, they bring an interesting idea. I don't remember what their source is. That when he was talking to them, he learned from both Rav Ami and Rav Asi. When he was talking to Rav Ami's Talmidim, he would say it in the name of Rav Ami. When he was talking to Rav Asi's Talmidim, he would say it in the name of Rav Asi, so that they'll respect their Rebbe more. Anyway, Kol Oichal Lechem B'Lo Netilas Yadayim. Anybody who eats bread without washing his hands, Kehilu Baal Isha Zayna. It's as if he had relations with a Zayna. Because the pasuk associates them. Because of an isha zona up to a loaf of bread. well, almost. In other words, we assume that what it means is that we're effectively we're reading the pasuk as if it was backwards. Because of a tikka lechem, ad tikka lechem, because of an aveda involving a loaf of bread, a person is mischayev to the same degree as he would be for ba'ad ishazona. However, Amar Rava, I ba'ad ishazona ad tikka lechem. In that case, the pasuk is backwards. Ba'ad tikka lechem ad ishazona mevayelay. Either the pasuk is backwards, or at the very least, fine. You want to douse in that you have the cause first and the consequence that you know, the cause last and the consequence first. Sometimes fine, you have tsukim that way, but then it should be ki ad ishazona ba'ad kikalachem. Ba'ad means because of. So because of the kikalachem, therefore you wind up with the punishment of ishazona. El Amar Rava. So no, Rava says what it means differently. Kolabal ishazona. Anybody who has relations with an ishazona l'soif mevakash kikalechem is in the end going to become so poor that he's going to have to be begging even for a loaf of bread. Ki ba'ad ishazona because of an ishazona ad kikalechem a person winds up down to having to beg for a loaf of bread.
That didn't happen to Yehuda.
Yehuda, it was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, the Rambam said such things were allowed.
So we're not saying it. We're talking.
Where is the pasuk "Kibad Ishazona Ad Kikalachem" written? It's the pasuk in Mishlei. That's after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, such things were allowed. Yes. Yeah. Omer Rav Zirka, Omer Rav Elazar. Anybody who is careless with washing their hands gets uprooted from the world. So what do you mean? What do you mean careless with Netzilas Yadayim? So wait, before you wash for bread, before eating bread. So Rashi says it means we're talking about a person who always eats without washing. So Nechem and Olam. The reason why Rashi has to say that is because there's a different Gemara in Erevin that mentions that Shabbos and Erevin Tosus quotes them that says that for a person eating with Netzilas Yadayim, the punishment is becoming poor, not Nechem and Olam, not being uprooted from the world.
Eating without
washing.
Bread.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking bread. Yeah. So Tosfos has a bit of discussion about it. Maybe they're the same thing. I mean, Tosfos says b'chlal. I mean, so why not Tosfos Adayim specifically? I mean, in general, anyone who's overall the chachamim is chayav misa. So therefore, Tosfos says that no zilzul means, for example, that a person is always careless about it. When it talks over there in Shabbos about a person washes, a person eats without washing, it's talking about where sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. Lefarshim say that what Rashi himself also might hold is the Gemara here is talking about somebody who never washes, and the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about somebody who washes but carelessly. He doesn't make sure to use enough water, so his hands are washed properly, etc. So two different things. I saw an interesting verse that's brought from Rabbi Yitzchak Chayes from the time of the Maharal that he says why nechem and olam, why such a serious thing for not washing hands. He says because you can find in the Christian scriptures that's one of the earliest mitzvahs that Oseh Ish wanted to do away with. It's brought over there that some prushim, meaning some of the chachamim, came to him and asked, "Haytoch, and your students are not washing for bread like they're supposed to." And he told them some irrelevant answer, like kibud avayim, whatever. So somebody who's careless and still is a dying shows that he holds by that kind of thing. Nechem and olam, he gets ripped out of the world. Amar if it's more so now the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about some of the dinim of Netilas Yadayim. Amar Rav Chiya Ashi Amar Rab, Ma'im Rishonim Tzerich Shiyagbiya Yadav L'Mayla. When you wash the first water, meaning when you wash before bread, you have to lift up your hand. You have to lift up your hands. Ma'im Achronim Tzerich Shiyashbil Yadav L'Mata. And when you wash Ma'im Achronim, you have to have your hands are downward. Tanya Nami Hachibil and similarly Braisa, Hanoitel Tzarach Yadav Tzarach Shiyagbiya Yadav L'Mayla. When you wash your hands before bread, you have to lift up your hands. Shema Yetzu Amayim Chutzla Perek, because the water might go past the joint, the yachs will be tam or sadaim, and then there'll be matam of the hands. So the details are a little complicated. The Rashi's explanation over here, the Rashba has a different explanation. Basically, what it boils down to is like this. When you wash your hands, the idea is your hands are tamei midrabanan. Therefore, you wash them in order to remove that tumah before you can eat bread. The tumah and tara only applies until the perek, until the joint. What joint? So Rashi seems to say that the joint means the joints over here, the knuckles. So therefore, according to him, you technically only have to wash your fingertips. The Rashba says that it means the whole hand until the wrist. Whatever the case, if you have, then, if you wash then with your hands pointing down, what's going to happen is some water gets outside the peret on this part of the hand according to the Rashi, or on the arm according to the Rashba, and then afterwards it drips down, and then it's the time of your hand again, because that water, normally what you have is, the reason why we wash three times and the velt washes two times is because you wash the first time, the water becomes tummy from your hands, and you wash the second time, and that second water is metahar the first water. But that only works out of peret. That only works on the hand itself, or according to Rashi, on the fingers themselves.
Well, you can do the same thing when you put the hands up, the water comes back down.
No, but if it comes back down, then it's going to go down. It's going to be fine. It'll go down. It's not going to come back onto your hands in the metahar then.
Second water.
So that's the Rashba has some discussion, as wrote in Shulchan Aruch, about the details. Are we saying you must lift your hands up? I mean, in particular, the Rashba says, according to Rashi, that you have to wash only your fingertips, and it makes sense what you're saying, you have to lift up your hands. If you hold that you have to wash your whole hand, maybe it's not necessarily as important to lift up your whole hand.
But your
arm doesn't become tummy or tahor. The whole concept of tumah v'tahara of hands only applies to the hand.
Up to the wrist?
Up to the wrist, yeah. So therefore, the Rashba talks about another possibility. Fine. I mean, you could also have your hands sloping down and just make sure that you keep them sloped down the whole time, so that water doesn't go from beyond your wrist onto your hand. And also, there's a
let them drop like that horizontally. Then
the same idea. Whatever. The point is that as long as your arm is sloping away from it. And there is also the difference whether you're washing once or twice or three times. That also makes a difference in this. It's
so
interesting.
The
velt does it two times. In theory, you only need to do it one time, but that gets complicated. It's technically only if you're washing both hands at once. You only need one time. If you're washing them separately, then you need two hands. You need twice, according to everybody. And the Rosh holds, you need three times.
You do three times.
That's what the Rosh holds. You need three times. But there is also, it's interesting, I mean, in the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch brings this whole business about do you have to lift up your fingertips or not when you're washing. In Hilchos Nitzolos Yadayim, that's in the back of the Siddur, in the back of Shulchan Aruch, I didn't see that he mentions anything one way or the other about the posture of your hands. Apparently, because like the Rashba is saying, if you wash them three times, then it's not really as critical anyhow.
I heard that if you use a lot of water, meaning you use a... for Nigel Vassar for each hand, to brush for a shirt.
That's a different thing. The more mentions that, then the more mentions that, I think, colon, yeah. Okay. Anyway, with Mayim Achronim, the point is that you want to have your fingertips going down, because the whole point of Mayim Achronim is to get the grease and stuff from your food, and remember they didn't have forks in those days, off your hand. So you want your fingers to be pointing downward so it all drips off.
Can you wash your hands before you get into the
oxygen? Yeah, no reason why not.
To clean them.
Oh, right? Yeah. So you should dry them first, but yeah. Okay. If somebody eats bread without drying their hand, it's like they're eating bread which is tummy. The pasuk says, so will the Jewish people eat their bread in tumah.
If you
wash your hands and then you don't dry them.
The hands are pure enough, you wash them three times.
Yes, but that's, so Rashi says the vote is like this. If you eat bread with wet hands, the bread becomes disgusting. When we say tome over here, we don't mean tome in the sense of tumah v'tahara. We mean that the psukim before that in Yechezkel, was talking about the Eidushah telling Yechezkel, you have to make this Ezekiel bread, you can find it in the health food stores made out of a mixture of different kinds of grains. You're going to eat, you're going to pretend like you're going to act out as if like you're in the siege of Yerushalayim, where like you have no normal food to eat, and you're going to have to bake it. First, Eidushah tells me you're going to have to bake it using a fire made out of human waste. And Yechezkel protests and says, come on, Hashem, don't make me do that. And Eibishter tells him, fine, you can use animal waste and animal dung instead as firewood. And then Eibishter tells him, this kind of thing, like you're eating this disgusting, unappetizing stuff, this is how the Jewish people are going to be when they're in this siege and when they're in Galus. So when we say, so in other words, Rashi's saying, Tomei over here doesn't mean Tomei as far as Tumah V'Tahara. There's nothing Tomei and Tahar in this whole thing that Yechezkel is eating. It means disgusting. When a person eats something, or when a person eats bread with wet hands and the bread becomes all wet, it becomes disgusting. That's how Rashi learns.
That's what happens to Chris when it starts raining.
Yeah. There's different other explanations. In particular, the Marsha says that the Me'iri, first of all, the Me'iri says an interesting thing. The word lachmum can be broken down into lachmayim, wet from water. So therefore, also you see that the pasuk is referring to when the bread is wet. And then the Marsha says, because the pasuk finishes off, b'goyim asher adichem sham. Adichem, the simple meaning is that the Eibishter says among the goyim that I'll throw them, I'll derech lakir anidachas, over there. But also, adichem is meloshin hadocha, washing your hands. So by going, actually, adichem sham, in the goyim, where they wash their hands and then don't dry them, and then they're eating like I'm coming. So we've dealt with the first half of the pasuk from Mishlei, going back to the pasuk from Mishlei that we quoted before, Ki ba'ad hishazon ad kikol lechem, is only the first half of the pasuk. The second half continues, the eshes ish nefesh yikara tatsud. An eshes ish will ensnare a nefesh yikara. So now the Gemara is going to deal with what that half of the pasuk means. My the eshes ish nefesh yikara tatsud. Amar Rav Chiya Abba, Amar Rav Yechon, kol adam sheyesh begafas haruach, means that a person who is proud, who is a nefesh yikara, like he thinks of his nefesh as a great great precious thing, more than the average person, is in the end going to end up stumbling and getting involved with an HSH. Never, HSH, nefesh yikara tatsu. Omar Rava, so Rava says, I have a similar problem to before, where we argued with the Dirasha on the pasuk. Hi, nefesh yikara? What kind of nefesh yikara? What kind of a lotion is that? Nefesh gvoya, by the way, it should be. The usual expression for somebody who's proud is nefesh gvoya. They think that their nefesh is very high up. He totsud me by the way, and also the pasuk should say he totsud, that she meaning the nefesh, which is feminine, totsud is going to entrap an Eishes Ish. We're not assuming the Eishes Ish is coming and entrapping this nefesh yikara. It seems the other way around, that the nefesh yikara is going to be nichshol in that he's going to go pursue the Eishes Ish. So it should say he totsud. Elam, or Rava, so Rava says, no, what the pasuk means is like, kol ba'al eshes ish, anybody who has relations with an eshes ish, afilu lomad Torah, even if he had learned Torah, dichtib ba yikara hi mepninim, which is about the Torah, it says also in Mishlei, that it's more precious than pearls, pninim is a various explanation of what it is exactly, but whatever, some kind of precious stone, which, we darshan that means, mekoyin gadol shenichmas lefnai v'lefnim, it means the Torah is even more precious than the kohen gadol who goes lefnai v'lefnim, who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The reason for the Jerusha, by the way, is because you have a Kri Uksiv there in the Pasuk. The Kri is Mipninim, which means pearls or whatever. The Ksiv is Mipnim, with missing the second Nun. Therefore, we can doubt it, Mipnim, Meloshan, a double Pnim, the Snival of Pnim. So even somebody who learns Torah, which is more precious even than the Kohen Gadol, and that has implications in Halacha. This is it's from that Pasuk, we have the famous thing, Ma'am Zatam and Chacham, Kohen the Kohen Gadol Amaret. The one that when it comes to saving, life, or giving tzedakah or whatever, that is Tamar Chacham, even if he's a mamz or Tamar Chacham, comes ahead of a Kohen Gadol in Amaret. We learn that from this pasuk. So that's the nefesh yikara. He's a precious nefesh. He's learned the Torah, which is so precious. Nevertheless, he took the den of the Dinah of Gehenim. Nevertheless, she will entrap him and schlep him along with her to the judgment of Gehenim.
How can the Gemara say that some story will be with an Eshesh?
It happens, right? I mean, unfortunately, you have just because a person learns Torah doesn't necessarily, you know. I mean, Torah is supposed to. I can tell you, for example, there's a tshuva from the Note of Yehuda, for example, where somebody comes to him with a problem that for many years he'd been having an affair with an Eishes Ish, and now they read in a shidduch with this couple's daughter. And then what should he inform his, among other things, the question is, now that he's going to be their son-in-law, should he inform his future father-in-law of what's going on over here? And the Note of Yehuda goes through it with it in some detail about the pros and cons of it. But yeah, I mean the original, the young man was a Talmud Chacham of some kind, and yeah, unfortunately people have a Yetzara. Tosfos discusses over here actually that we see. You know, you have the story with David HaMelech, right? That, you know, in one way or another, he was involved with an Eishes Ish. And the Gemara mentions it. Okay, that's the whole discussion about that. But still, the Gemara mentions, at least on the surface, it was. And therefore, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that David was in danger of losing his Olam Haba until Eishes Ish told him, you know what, accept Yisurim on yourself. And that'll be Mechaper for it. Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, and indeed.
Announced
that you want it, it should accept it. Anyway, that's what Tosfos says over here, that depends. If the person did shuvah, if the person didn't have Yisurim, then that's what we're saying over here, that he winds up in Dinah Shal Gehenim and Nitra Adminar, let me guess, he gets pushed out of the world. But yeah. Omer Rav Yechon Mishum Rav Shimon Yechoi, so now, having mentioned this concept of Agathas Aruach, that we started by saying that Nefesh Yikara, according to the first explanation, meant somebody who was proud. So now the Gemara is going to go on for the next Amud and a half dealing with the Inyan of pride, the Inyan of pride, of Gathas Aruach. I'm holding this, yeah. One, you know, there is an idea. It's brought in Sfarim why particularly this is in the Sefer Soita, because well, there is that, but there's also because it does when a person is proud, it makes them think I can get away with things, yeah. But also on a more ruchnistic level, the idea of Soita is that, you know, where you have a woman thinks I can hide from my husband and do whatever I want. On a national level, that's, you know, you have a yid who thinks that I can hide from the Eibishter and do whatever I want, you know, that I can get away with anything I want. So therefore it belongs over here, especially the Gemara says later on in Chulin Lodger that the Eibishter says I can't live with such a person in the world, and yeah, there's a certain connection there. A person who's proud, it's as if he's worshipping idols. Why? You have a pasuk in Mishlei that says it's an abomination to Hashem, it's disgusting to Hashem, anybody who is proud of heart. The same word te'eva is used in whatever it is. In Tanya, in Perek Chavei, Zalta Rebbe explains the deeper reason behind many Beforshim have explanations. Zalta Rebbe's explanation of Pichsidus is what's the idea of being over the Zara is you're saying, you're thinking that there are powers in the world independent of the Eivishter. Okay, Kodolele, Kodolekaya, they think the Eivishter is somewhere up there in the highest heavens, but like he doesn't directly manage affairs here on earth, Chas V'Shalom, and the Gathor Ruach thinks the same thing, like he's a Metzius of his own outside of the Eivishter. That was Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yechai. That's like worship Havad Azara. Rabbi Yechanan himself said,
can you have Gavis and Philly Davis to manage as well?
But it's sort of a contradiction in terms. Wait, we'll talk about later, towards the end of Hayom and Aleph, whether there are times when it's appropriate to have Gai. But wait. Rabbi Yechanan did day. Relax, yeah, that's the Shminas of Shminas. It's in the Gemara, yeah. Rabbi Yechanan did day. Rabbi Yechanan himself said, such a person is as if he's completely denying the Eibishter's existence. And Ovid Avid is Zara Mele. You can still believe Alakad Alakayah, the Eibishter is somewhere up there removed from the world. Kofa Be'ikr means he b'chlal denies the Eibishter. Shenem, v'romba v'avecha v'shachachta, v'shem v'lekecha v'zem. The Pasuk says, your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Eibishter. Rav Chama bar Chanina, Rav Chama bar Chanina, furthermore, a person who's got ruach, it's as if he had relations with all the different arayas. Again, you have the same topic where we're being proud is called te'eva. That all these te'evas, the Knanim did, and therefore they're kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and you have to be careful not to do them. It's talking about the arayas. Ula Amar, kila bana bama. Ula says it's also as if the person built a bama. A bama is a mizbeach. There's two possibilities what a bama means in this connection. It can mean a bama for Avodah Zarah, or it can mean a bama that's supposedly made l'shem shemayim, but it's when bama is also after the Beis Mikdash was built, when you're not allowed to do such things. Because the pasuk says, hold yourself back from people whose neshama is in their faith, which means Rashi says, like he considers his personality to be very important, like it's right in front of him. Because what is he considered? Al tikri bama. Such a person is considered a bama in the wedding mimer and then the Maim al-Khajaydi talks about the idea behind this. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that a person before he's davened is like a bama, and therefore you're not allowed to greet a person before he's davened. It's kila bama bama. The varkes over there are similar. Asher neshama ba'afe, like his neshama is, so to speak, only in his nose. It hasn't completely penetrated his body yet. So here, I guess maybe it would be the same idea that his neshama is like in his nose, like just in chitzonius, because the rest of him is filled with gaiva and there's no room for, and therefore he's not leaving room for elikos in himself. It's in the Maim al Chadoyi from the Rebbe's wedding. That's the Friedrich Rebbe set the Rebbe's wedding. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was in there.
Last one, people like late generations, they do the Rebbe's one.
Right, I myself did the Friedrich Rebbe's.
Very well, that's one.
Okay. Okay. My yod yod lo yinaka. So again, we have two halves of the pasuk. The first half, Torah Hashem called Gvalei, we just dealt with. What about the second half of the pasuk? Yod lo yod lo yinaka, hand to hand, he won't be cleansed. What does that mean? Amar Rav, kol abal eshafish. It means anybody who has relations with an eshafish, or Rashi has the gears to rather kol sheesh v'gafus ruach. Anybody who's proud, because that's what we were talking about in this connection. Even if he was like Abraham Avinu, he made the Eibishter the ruler over heaven and earth. As Abraham says to the king of Sodom, I lift up my hand to Hashem, the one who acquired heaven and earth. So he has this chus of Yod. Nevertheless, so to speak, like he took it from his Yad and gave it to the Eved. Nevertheless, he won't be cleansed from the din of Gehenna. He's still going to have to go through that. But in the yeshiva, Rav Shila had a question on this drasha of Rav. Hi, yod liyod lo yinaka. What kind of yod liyod then? What do you mean hand to hand? Yodi mi barle. The pasuk should say yodi lo yinaka. My hand, meaning even if he, so to speak, like he gave the whole world into my hand, to the Eved's hand, nevertheless lo yinaka.
Ask a question. You have to know that she's an Eshet or if the year that she didn't have a proper get or something.
You should be checking on these things. I mean, I mean, there's obviously the difference between Shogig and Mazid, but still, I mean, even Shogig is sort of Chaparei. Okay. Ela Ami Dvei Rav Shila, so no, rather they said in the yeshiva of Rav Shila, it means, even if this person received the Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, that says, from the Eved's right hand, a Torah of fire came to them. So Yod L'Yod, it went from the Eved's hand to his hand, nevertheless, Lo Yinok of Adinah Shogahanim, if he was involved with the Eved's Gassus HaRuach. Kashle the Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan still has a problem with that drasha. Hi yod lo yod, what do you mean hand to hand? Yod mi boyle. His hand received from the Eved's hand. And I'm Rabbi Yechanan, no. I feel oisa tzedakah b'seisa. Even if you're talking about a person who gives tzedakah in secret, nechtim, and it says on such a person, matan b'seisa yichta afogamer, giving tzedakah in secret, so yod lo yod, he gives from his hand to the poor man's hand, and in secret, and matan b'seisa yichta afogamer, that giving tzedakah in secret covers up the Eved's anger. Nevertheless, lo yinaka medina shogahanim. Nevertheless, even such a person, if he was involved with these things, is. Why does it mention these three things? Mefarshim talk about that even if he has all the milas of Abraham and Moshe and the milas of Tzedakah, so Toda, Avoda, and Gmilus Chasadim, which are the world stands on them. Nevertheless, as Hodo Legasi Aruch Minayin, where do we have a warning in the Torah not to be a Gassaruch? We're talking about the punishments for it. Ein Unshin Elim Keng Azir, the Eved or based in on earth, and the Eved also can't punish a person unless there's a warning. Where is the warning? Omar Rava, Omar Ziri, you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Shimu v'hazinu, listen and pay attention. Al tigbahu, don't be high up. Rav Nachmi, it's talking about that basically like don't be too proud to accept the words of the Navi. We had a pasuk we quoted before, your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Eved. You have another pasuk that says, be careful not to forget the Eved. And that is a loisa. This is like what Rav Oven said in the name of Rabila. Any place where the Torah prefaces a mitzvah by saying, hishomer, be careful, or pen, lest, or al, don't. That's all the loisese. So he shomalacha pen tishkach hashem alakecha is a loisese, and since the rom levavecha causes a shachata as a shem alakecha, that is included in the lav. Darash Rabbeinu, again zimne nomal amashmeder Rav Asi v'zimne nomal amashmeder Rav Ami. Sometimes he would say the following word in the same in the name of Rav Asi, sometimes in the name of Rav Ami. Kol adam shiyesh begasus aruach, anybody who's proud losoich mismait is going to end up being brought down from his importance, Rashi says. Shenema, you have a pasuk in Eov, a three-part pasuk. It goes like this, where the Gemara is going to dash in all three parts. Roimu ma'at, they're lifted up a little bit, and then they're gone. V'humchu, and they're brought down low, kako yukoftun, like everything, they are cut off, like removed from the world, not cut off, removed from the world. And like the top of an ear of grain, of a stalk of grain, they'll be cut off. So what does this mean? So a person who has gas siroch l'seifness ma'at, shenema, roimu ma'at, as it says, lift it up a little bit. Ma'at has a double meaning, it means a little bit, but it also means ma'at, lessened. So roimu, a person is proud, ma'at, he becomes lessened. So you're going to say then, okay, a person, maybe he gets lowered down from his chashivas, but he still exists in the world. No, therefore the next word in the pasuk is, he's gone. The imchoizabai, but if he does...
There's different levels.
Yeah. The imchoizabai, but if he does tshuva and becomes humble, then he'll be gathered in, he'll pass away at his proper time, he'll live out his life like he's supposed to, like Avraham Avinu did. Shenema v'humchu, as it says, if they're brought low, humchu means like poor, malashan mach. Hakol Yikoftun, then they will be removed like